Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You as always, dear Lord, for this day. Lord, and for all the blessings that You give us in it. Most of all, for Lord, for that that You did for us on the cross. And Lord, for that hope, that blessed hope of resurrection. And Lord, for that blessed hope of the appearing in the upon heavens. That we know that that the body is, when the body becomes full, that's where we will be, Lord. Lord, we ask that You be, I ask, Lord, that You be with me. And I'm sure the other saints are in agreement that You be with me, that I can help minister or edify the body of Christ. And all these things I ask and pray. It's in Christ's name I pray. Again, this is, I guess you could say that this is a Judgment 2, the sequel. It might not be as good as Judgment 1, because I did get a little carried away with my ranting, I feel like, but I still think we got the point across, and I hope you was edified with it. I don't really even know how to lead into it, but in Appendix 177 and Appendix 122, I'm going to be working out those Greek forms, and we'll start out. I used this Sunday on the 10th in 1 Corinthians 4:3-5, but I didn't get into the Greek forms that are associated with that one, and I'm pretty sure that'll be the only scripture that I'll refer back to that I used prior. But in 1 Corinthians 4:3-5, it says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you." And that's anacrino. And that's in Appendix 122. And there's nine Greek forms that are associated with krino. It's to judge or condemn. And the nine Greek forms are krino, anacrino, apocrino, diacrino, encrino, epicrino, catacrino, suncrino, and hupocrinomai. Now, there's a lot of crinos going on there, but each one of them has a small significance of difference. In crino is to judge, used of a legal or order or decision. And anacrino is a prefix, is to examine or translate with a negative. And you got apocrino, it's the middle prefix, to give forth a decision for oneself, or hence to answer. And then you have diacrino, is to discriminate or make a difference, hence to doubt. And then you have encrino, which is also a prefix, to adjudge to a particular position. Then you have epicrino, which is prefix, to pronounce sentence upon. And you have catacrino, which is prefixed also, to give sentence against or to condemn. And you have suncrino, is to put under or in order to judge, hence to compare. And then you have hupocrinomai, which is a prefix also to answer and to act on the stage, hence to feign. The nouns hupocrisis and hupocrites, which have anglicized to hypocrisy and hypocrite, are also translated say. But back to 1 Corinthians 4:3-5, But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, that's anacrino, or of man's judgment, which is Himera, which is in Appendix 177, and that Himera is day, as rendered judgment. So, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment, which is man's day. I judge Apocrino, not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that justifieth Anacrino, me, is the Lord. Therefore judge, which is Crino, nothing before its time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And then we're going to jump dispensation and get into our dispensation in Colossians 4:2-6. And our form is going to be in 6, and it's going to be apokrinomai. Now, like I said before, it's to give forth a decision for oneself, hence to answer, according to the Hebrew idiom, which prevails in both testaments. It is often combined with the word said in the expression answer and said, and receives it meaning from the context. See note in Deuteronomy 1:41, it thus frequently occurs with no question and had been asked. Example in Matthew 11:25, answered and said. So, let's read Colossians 4:2-6. Paul says, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. And this is true for today, that this is a prayer that we should also be praying to and for each other. And since I'm here, since it's to my mind, everybody knows that I'm on Facebook, because that's how Mel found out. But I started today, after my last couple of studies, I'm starting when someone puts something on Facebook and it comes up into my page, and I get a lot of these hell and heaven pictures, and there's judgment, you know, associated with it. You know, it always says, well, which way are you going to go? Well, today I started out, and I'm going to be doing it every time something comes up on my page, even though, you know, to help you guys out that are also on Facebook, instead of commenting on that person's post, what you can do is forward or share. You click on share, and that will come up on your page, and then you can make a comment. That way, the person that sent that comment will also see what you said, but they can't really do much complaining because you're doing it on your own page. That way, if there's a comment made to what I said, then it can lead on into a conversation and to bring forth more truth, in my instance, more truth rightly divided, because even though there's a lot of trash in Facebook, I also see the potential to bring more people to the truth, because there's just as much ignorance there as they are anywhere else. There's a lot of trash that anybody that knows Facebook knows that there's trash on it also. But I just wanted to kind of get off on a sidebar and show that there is a chance to bring forth the truth of God's Word, even in the medium of Facebook. Now, where was I at? Continuing prayer, and watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond, that I may make it manifest, bring forward, as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom. This is one thing the Apostle Paul pretty much pushes for us today, that our walk be good and steadfast. The more studying I see, the more I see that we're to do a walk with the studying that I'm doing with Barney's previous studies on walk. You can't help but notice that our admonishment as members of the church is to walk, because our walk is so important to those that are watching us, even to the Christian community that know and love the Lord. Our walk is probably more important to them, because we're trying to get them onto the better resurrection, is to get them on in to fill the body and get on with this carnage that we call the world, and bring forth the body. But in 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer, and that answer is apokrinomai, every man. And you know, it kind of caught me off guard when I just hit my search button. I expected to come up with judgment, and it came up with answer. And that's just, you know, it's another one of those. Well, check it out. You know, this is a Greek form that's associated with judgment, but it's a decision, that you may know how you ought to answer everything. And when I'm around Ronnie and questions come up, I tell you what, that guy has a silver tongue. He is definitely, his speech is definitely seasoned with salt, and he knows how to answer pretty much every question there is. Because I'll tell you, him and Barney, I'll tell you, all of the learned teachers that are on here, my hat's off to you guys, because all your guys are great. But let's go to Romans 4, and that 18 to 21, and the Greek form I'm going to be looking at there is in verse 20, and it's I ain't going to tell you, but I'm going to let you see if you can guess it when I get there. But in Romans 4, 18 to 21, who against hope, believing in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Now, I'm sorry, I should lead into this, but this is Paul talking about Abraham during bringing up Abraham and his faith, and the strength that Abraham had with his faith. Who against hope, believing in hope, that he might become the father of all nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And naturally, this is talking about when they were to give birth to their firstborn child. And in 20, it says, he staggered. Now, staggered is diakrino. Now, diakrino is, in the appendix 122, it's to discriminate or make a difference, hence to doubt. And it's translated stagger in Romans here. So, again, the different forms of judgment and condemn, it's something that everybody does every day. I mean, it's a natural thing. We're pretty much living in the day and age of, you know, sin, pretty much, as far as the Satan is the prince and power of the air, and it's all over the place. So you can't help but make a judgment call pretty much every way you turn. But back to Romans, and Abraham staggered, not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong. He staggered, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able also to perform. And coming back to our dispensation again, let's turn to 1 Timothy 3. I'm going to read 1 through 9. Chip. And this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation, that's crema, of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Likewise, must a deacon be grave, not double-toned, not given to much wine, not greedy, filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The apostle is always giving advice, but he never uses commandments. You know, he never makes it as an order. He gives us suggestions how a man should live so that he shouldn't fall into the condemnation of the devil. But all we have to do is follow Christ's lead, and two, follow Paul's lead, and three, just study his word and hold God's word true to our hearts, and just say, thank you, God. Yes, sir. And that's all there are to it. It's not hard. What's hard is when we are pushed, I say, you know, into a corner, and it's hard to just kind of hold back and be the godly man that we're supposed to be. But God will give us the direction to go. In 1 Timothy 5, let's look at 9 through 12, Chip. And my Greek form is in 12. In 9 it says, let not a widow be taken in the number under 80 years old. This ain't no 3-year-old widow. This is a 60-year-old lady. Having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she be brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for they have begun wax against Christ. They will marry, have the damnation, crema, because they have cast off their first faith. So the apostle is warning, another warning here, that if a widow is under 60 years of age, be careful, because they're going, the possibility is there for them to cast off their first faith and fall into damnation. In 1 Corinthians, forms here. In 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. No man knoweth the things of God but the Spirit. No man can know anything of God without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And that of is ek. That is, receive the Spirit which is out from God, that we might know things that are freely given to us from God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing all that word, I must have missed one somewhere. But that one's all crino, and it is also comparing the two, the spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can the natural man know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth, and that's men anakrino. And that is indicative of affirmation in fact, which is even, indeed, some, truly, or verily, in an intensive and assertive sense. So in 15, but he that is spiritual judges in an intensive sense all things. Yet he himself is judged, anakrino, of no man. Does that kind of sound familiar? He himself is judged of no man? We'll get to that. In 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Yeah, this is a 1 Corinthians letter, but man, that sure does sound like that would be doctrinal for us also. In 2 Timothy 4, and I'll leave that question up for grabs. In 2 Timothy 4, 3-8, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I wonder who that is. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Who would that be? And shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But which watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and here comes our word, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to them that also love his appearing. Now the judge there, well, we know who it is, it's God, but the judge form there is krites, and that's used 15 times, and it is from krino. It's the genitive case, or especially renders each and every time. It's judge, or as judges, or the judge. So that's probably as strong as you're going to get. And when looking at the judgment, you know, we are constantly told that you're going to be judged of God, and all judgment going to be given from God. This is just things that you hear. But in John 5:22, one verse pretty much says what God is going to do concerning judgment. In John 5:22, it says, "For the Father judgeth krino. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment krisis unto the Son." Gary left. So, but the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. So if we being body members, we're the adopted sons of Christ. And when people asked us, who are you to judge me? And if, as long as we're staying with God's word and we stay in the righteous sense and doing it the godly way, like I said before, we can be judges, but it's to be done with a loving, caring attitude and without any hatred attached to it, because we're not helping anybody when we do admonish someone, or as they say, judge them. And in Colossians 2:16-17, this is a verse that we're judged by other people, whether they be Christians or Catholics or those that try to hold a Gentile Sabbath, that think that it's not godly to cut grass on Sundays or such as that, or that we don't follow through with some of the traditional Christian Christmas holidays or such as that. But in Colossians 2:16-17, Paul says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Now, which are a shadow of things to come is a study entirely on its own because of the several years that I've been associated with sitting at the tables with Cecil and Ronnie, I've come to understand that judgment, that shadow of things to come, would be the next dispensation, to where Christ will be judging as he did, or as the Pharisees expected him to come the last time. Let's just say that. Because that's what got him in trouble this time, because he came as a servant and not as a judge. And everybody that expected him to come, they expected him to come with an iron fist. And that's pretty much what got him in trouble. And then my last verse is in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this is a prayer that we all should do on a daily basis. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That is at aesthesis, discernment, perception, or judgment. That you may approve all things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This is a prayer that I think we could use any hour of the day, because it's a beautiful verse, and it just pretty much sums up with two verses that what the Apostle Paul prays for us, that your love may abound, yet more and more with knowledge and in all judgment, that we, as bodies of Christ, may approve all things that are excellent, that we may be sincere without offense until the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And that's my study for tonight. And maybe y'all won't hear this old Southern boy speak for a few weeks until you come down to the, I don't even know what we're calling it now that we've got off there. Do you know what it's called, baby? She's going to have to look it up. But, let's go to the Lord in prayer while she's trying to find it out. I'm sure y'all probably, Kyle, there you go, Gary's got it, Kara's on it there. So, until y'all come down, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys, we'll have hugs and food waiting on you. let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, we thank you for this word that you've given us, and the means that we have to search out these words. Lord, there was a time when people had to just open books, book after book. But Lord, I thank you for this technology that allows us to do a quicker search. Lord, thank you most of all, again, for that you did for us on the cross, and that you did for us from before the foundation. Lord, I ask that you be with those that are on our hearts that maybe need a healing touch or guidance or just help, dear Lord. For it's in Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen.